that it will go to the Senate floor. It's a sweeping democracy reform bill that would put in place measures like automatic registration, election day registration, early voting, expanded mail voting in all 50 states. And I think it's more important than ever, given these voter suppression laws. It's going to be hard to challenge all of these laws in Florida, Texas, Georgia through the courts. And I think it makes federal legislation all the more important. And it's very clear that Democrats are either going to pass legislation to protect democracy, or the Republican Party is going to undermine the democratic process for the next decade and beyond at the state level.
Ari Berman, we want to thank you for being with us. We'll link to your pieces. Reporter for Mother Jones, author of Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. And that does it for our broadcast. Again, if you want to sign up for our daily digest, get our news headlines and news alerts daily, you can send the word Democracy Now, one word without a space. You can text that to 66866. That's 66866. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, and the whole miraculous team that makes Democracy Now! Happen every day. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 7:59 a.m. KBOO Community Radio would like to thank Joseph, Eric, Fern, Bihan, and Martin for donating to our spring membership drive today. Join these generous supporters and help us reach our $60,000 fundraising goal by going to kboo.fm/give or by texting KBOO to 44321. Now stay tuned for more talk radio with Cecil and Celeste.
Good morning.
Good morning. You are.
Today is Monday.
Yes, you are. Yes, it is. Yes, you are. Yes, you are Monday. Yes, it is. And you are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. Okay, now you got to mute your stuff so we don't have the echo. All right, there we go. 90.7 here in the Portland metropolitan area. If you are in Point South along the Willamette River Valley, 104.3, 91.9 in the Columbia River Gorge, and of course worldwide, KBOO.fm. Welcome everyone to More Talk Radio with Cecil and myself, Celeste. We're here to join each other and encourage you to a bit of electronic coffee shop conversation.
And so as we gather around our what should you say, video coffee table or electronic coffee table, get your favorite beverage and we'll talk about what's on our minds this morning. We want to invite you to join in our conversation, 503-231-8187 in a little while, but we want to check in with one another and with you all and talking about some thoughts about what we have. Certainly we heard late last week about the anticipated rise in jobs, and apparently there was a disappointment number of jobs created, not the hundreds and thousands of jobs created, but somewhat less than 300,000 new jobs. And there was speculation about why aren't people going back to work. Now, we're familiar with the talking points of certain political perspectives, and some people are saying that the $300 extra and federal benefits that some people are getting are keeping people from jobs, and Republican governors such as the governor in Montana and I believe South Carolina and one or two other states are saying that they will cut those federal benefits because people are, and here's the old talking point, being too lazy and are not working. And a response to that is that, you know, if you paid people living wages, the $300 extra that they might be getting with their unemployment isn't making that much of a difference, and that's not a real argument to make in terms of what is keeping the economy from ramping up as people anticipated. Why aren't people, why aren't jobs opening? Why aren't people just lining up to go back to their service jobs?
Well, that's a good question right there. Is it only the service jobs that are not having people, you know, coming in? The jobs report, I think, is a little misleading because even though it's talking about jobs created, basically, I'm curious about the whole concept of jobs refilled. But I also just want to hear from folks to find out what is your situation like? Have you been laid off? Have you been called back to work? Are you still leery about going into the office? Why is the $300 a week plenty for you? And you're thinking, as long as I'm getting that, I'm not going back to work. And no harm, no foul. Because we know there are lots of jobs out there that are difficult to work for various reasons. I won't even go into all the reasons why, you know, like dangerous or tedious or don't pay enough money, or, you know, by the time you pay for transportation and child care, there's nothing left for the job. There's a lot of reasons why somebody might not be going back to work. But what we want to do is hear your reasons. And we also want to encourage new callers and young callers still linked up in the workforce. Give us a call and tell us, where are you? Are you working? Are you at home collecting what people like the Montana government consider, you know, that large handout, and you're not in the least bit interested in going back to work? Share your stories. And what's our phone number, Cecil?
503-231-8187. And that's the call. Call in, 503-231-8187.
All righty. So I have friends who do work in the service industry, and I found it interesting that, you know, some of the jobs mentioned when people are saying, you know, well, there's all these jobs and they're not being picked up. Some people have not been able to open up the businesses that hire folks in the service industry. And so if you're only at 25 or 50% capacity allowed, well, of course you can't go back to work because there's
right.
no job, no work, you know.
Well,
even though they was busy for some folks.
I heard some interview with restaurant owners this weekend, and you know, this past weekend was Mother's Day, and that's traditionally very important holidays for certain businesses such as restaurants and flower shops and candy shops, and the difficulty that some businesses, say restaurants, was one was the, as you suggested, being able, not sure whether or not they will be able to open up or not. And here, where we are located in Oregon, two of the three counties were shut down more than another county. And then all of a sudden, the governor opened all the counties so that restaurants which had, you know, limited number of people able to come into their restaurants suddenly found that they, oh no, we can actually have more people in our restaurant. And one restaurant owner said that she had to remain closed during Mother's Day because she had was operating under the in, under the guise that they would not be able to open up, and they did not have enough, had not ordered enough food for the Mother's Day weekend, because you have to order food, you know, you just can't call the night before and say, okay, we're going to have prepared for 300 people in our restaurant. So the economy remains difficult for many businesses, and some of the easy answers we hear, I don't think are adequate enough to some of the challenges that not only workers but also owners are facing in this economy that we are in right now.
JC's on the line.
All righty. Well, we'll start off our conversations with JC. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Good morning. Sorry, I'm walking into my building. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
I just was happened to be listening to your show, and you were talking about having a young caller, part of the workforce, call in. And so I just wanted to tell you about my experience. And you're pretty much talking about how people are.
Hello? Hello?
Looks like we lost it.
We might have lost
it. Okay, well, call us back. We dropped your call some kind of way. I do want to hear your perspective and what your experiences are. The phone number is 5-3-2-3-1-8-1-8-7. And, yes, we especially want to welcome new callers and young folks that are part of the workforce and hear your experiences. What's going on from your perspective with this salary versus jobs battle, and how are you responding to this $300 a week payment for unemployment? Is it enough to make it worth not working? Is it driving people maybe to off the books working? There's a lot of things that could be going on, because I'm not in that position where I'd be squeezed like that. But if I were younger, or especially if I had a family, I might be, you know, tempted to have an off-the-books job so I could afford myself.
JC's
I'm thinking $200 a month is not enough to pay your rent. Not really.
Let's not even talk about child care.
Yeah.
Women have been most impacted by the failed the economy in terms of number of jobs lost and the difficulty in being able to recover those jobs. And we all know the cost of child care. It's very difficult.
JC's back.
Our phone number is 503-231-8187.
Hello? I'm back.
Okay, good. That's good.
Yeah, so what I was saying was I have friends, you know, that have been making more off the unemployment than they would at their job, and it really doesn't they really don't want to go back to work. And I'm in Portland right now, and you know, I see people on the streets that look really able-bodied to work, and they're not. And at my job specifically, we're short-staffed. I'm a caregiver. We're short-staffed, so I'm working extra. I'm working a lot of extra shifts for other people because there's missing spots, and it's overwhelming. I'm working a lot of long hours. I mean, the money's good, but it's not worth all my time. And but, you know, I love my job, so I'm working it to help them out. But we're really short-staffed, and we could really use, you know, people. And, you know, my supervisor even told me, he was like, he feels like, you know, ever since this COVID happened, some people have been lazy off the benefits. And it's frustrating because I'm not the type of person to judge someone for not, you know, for their choices and stuff like that. But like I said, it'd be a lot of help if people came back to work. So
let me ask a couple of questions here. Number one, your friends who say that they're not really interested in coming back, do they work in the service industry or in the healthcare industry like you do?
They work in different industries.
Okay. And is their salary equal to the unemployment benefits, or is it a little bit more or a little less?
From what from how they explain it, it seems like they're making more from the unemployment.
Okay.
Or at least equal. Like, they're making, okay, you know, the same amount as sitting at home. They're making the same amount sitting at home than they are at work.
And so then, with you working and trying to cover shifts, I'm assuming you're getting overtime. But like you said, overtime sometimes is not worth giving up so much more of your life. I remember being young and working 60 hours a week sometimes because I was single and young, and why not? You know,
I'm close to getting like 30 hours of overtime, and you know, it's cool for a couple weeks, but when it's consistently like that, it's frustrating. You know, my grandmother's a pastor at a church in Vancouver, and you know, she wants to see me on Sundays. She called me yesterday. She wants to see me on Sundays. She's like, why have you not been coming to church? Well, my job really needs me. There's not a lot of, you know, there's not my, you know, I'm a caregiver. So it's 24 hours, like, you know, care. There's always a staff at the house with our individuals. So, you know, I have to work different types of shifts to cover up, to cover those spots that are missing. So it has been something on my mind. I never thought about it like this, but yeah, you know, people, we need more workers pretty much. And it's frustrating when there's not enough.
Now, when you're putting all those extra hours like that, one of the things that happens, you get really tired. And not only does that wear down your immune system, so even if you've had the COVID vaccination, it makes you susceptible to other things. And then there's the fact that people make more mistakes when they're tired. Do you feel like you're in a safe environment?
I've definitely made mistakes being tired, and there's also other people that have made, you know, made worse mistakes. You know, we have a coworker that accidentally, you know, crashed their car. They crashed their car coming off of work because they're so tired. So we definitely know about burnout. You know, especially in the caregiving industry, like, you know, some of our individuals, you know, they might do something and it might cause a worker to lash out, and they normally aren't like that. They didn't mean to lash out, but they lashed out because they're just so overwhelmed and tired. And it's a real thing that happens. You know, they didn't mean to hurt nobody, but they lashed out because they were just so exhausted.
Yes.
You know, you might end up yelling at someone when you don't mean to. You might, you know, end up hurting someone when you don't mean to. It's a real thing.
Well, first, I want to commend you for trying to stick with it. I can appreciate the fact that that's a hard choice. You know, when you're in healthcare, a lot of times it's because you have a heart for people. But when you're forced to do overtime, you know, the thrill of making that extra money wears off. You end up paying more taxes on it, and then it's taxing on your body. So yeah. I want to commend you for working hard, even though it's hard. It's difficult. And just encourage you, you know, and take a day off and go to church with your grandmother.
You know, yesterday she has to speak with my supervisor. So next, okay. I actually got the day off today. So,
yeah, you know, that's a different state of affairs when your grandmother has to call in to tell you you need a day off. You know,
she said, I want to speak with your supervisor.
That's
so I said, I'll put him on the phone with you.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call and for sharing your experiences and your insight. It's really helpful for the rest of us to understand what kind of choices people are facing nowadays in the work world. Hey, thank you so much for your call.
Enjoy your day off.
Yes. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city, and Hood River, it's 91.9, and Philomath, it's 104.3, everywhere, www.kboo.fm. More Talk Radio, Monday mornings. To join in the conversation, it's 503-231-8187. And we're talking about the effect of, not just the effect of the payments, because really it's a synchronistic dynamic. You know, it's not just the effect of getting $300 a week, COVID supplemented unemployment insurance. It's really a combination of what jobs are available, the working conditions, the fear of getting infected by COVID, the fear of running into people who have lost their mind because they've been locked up all year in COVID and they don't know how to act in society anymore.
Yeah.
So much. Ferocity. What I call it? Becoming feral in COVID society. You're not used to being with people. But it's more than that. There's something going on, and let's talk about it.
Yeah, I appreciate our caller and sharing his perspective. And, you know, things are bad when you got to get your grandmother to speak to your supervisor.
Well, it doesn't sound like he had to. It sounded like, because it's not like he was telling grandma, I need you to ask. It's more like grandma recognized and she said, oh, no, I have to have an intervention moment here. You know, and I was chuckling because I talked to my grandson yesterday, and I was wondering, now, am I going to be in that same situation where I got to call somebody up and say, let my grandson go? But join us in the conversation. So, you know, there are some states like Montana, you know, I was telling you yesterday, where the governor has made the assumption that it is laziness and this high level of unemployment payment that has kept people off the work rolls. And I'd like to hear from somebody who is not working, if at all possible, give us a call, and has found that they are making more money than they would by working. And what motivates them besides just the money? Because one thing I did notice from our caller is that he said they could be making maybe the same amount or a little less. And I could say, as a human being, if I could make the same amount of money without having to go through the stress of mass transit during a pandemic and being a frontline worker, regardless of the field, you know, I would be inclined to stay home because I think being concerned about your health in this pandemic is not a sign of laziness. I think it's a sign of self-preservation.
Yes, indeed. And the fact that people find themselves in different situations, it's, you know, there's not one explanation for all. Each one person is facing a different situation. And the fact, you know, that you might be earning enough temporarily. You know, this $300 doesn't last forever, temporarily. It says more about our economy. I mean, if you are unable to have a living wage being employed, and if you make as much or almost as much when you're unemployed, I think it says something more about the state of how we view our workers and not about the workers themselves. And I think it should motivate us to examine, do we value work and how do we value workers? Do we pay enough for them to take the risks to afford child care and to be able to have quality time off work and as well as other things, health care and all things related. It's a lot more complicated than saying that person is a lazy worker or is lazy and does not want to work, I think.
True indeed. But we want to hear what you think, what's on your mind, how you feel about all of this. The phone number is 503-231-8187. Give us a call, share your experiences, and we always welcome new callers, and especially like today in this conversation, young callers that are part of the workforce and experiencing this. Now, you've heard a lot of conversations or read a lot in the paper that a lot of folks who work in the service industry can't count on having a job. I have a friend who works at a restaurant. I'm acquainted with the owner and actually have worked with him myself before. And so this woman has made all these changes to her establishment so that they can have more seating outside. And with the closed downs and bad weather and the expense of trying to retrofit your business so that you can be outside, a lot of folks are not able to keep the business open and make enough money to bring employees back. So that's one challenge that you see. So when, you know, the jobs report says, well, they didn't create enough jobs, I'm looking at it, you know, sideways because I'm thinking, create? What happened to reactivate or reissue or reinstate? That's not exactly creating. You know, these are jobs that disappeared. And we want to know, will they come back? What kind of stability are we going to have? And so the business owner can't afford to hire these people back. This job disappeared, and with it went the benefits. So how is it really beneficial, even though they're making the same amount of money? Because I know some of these people have had health challenges, and they don't have insurance. They're looking at, well, can I go to Zoom clinic, or can I go get an OHP, you know, to go get these things taken care of? Do I need to do a GoFundMe so I can get my tooth fixed? What's going on, you know? And so there are a lot of other, I think, hidden and collateral costs to this particular dynamic we're in, this employment environment we're in, where it may seem like people are not wanting to go back to work because the money is good, but I don't know. I think there's other things going on. What are you finding, Cecil?
Well, I think you're correct that there are other things going on. One thing that we have discovered, I think, over the last 14 months or so, among the things that we are discovering is that we have altered the way we live. We have reoriented ourselves
and figure out, oh, things can work differently, so that businesses have found out that perhaps we do not need to have our workers come drive, you know, an hour and a half to come downtown to find parking to work. Maybe they can work away from the physical office. People are finding new ways to relate to one another and, as you suggested, meet their needs, whether it's a video chat with your physician as opposed to going into the office. So much has changed in the past 14 months, not only impacting our economy and jobs, but the way we relate to one another. Now we are in a situation where all 50 states will be open more or less within the next two months. Oregon's governor said that she expects all business restrictions to be lifted by the end of June. Some states are already open, Texas and Florida. Pennsylvania will reopen by the end of this month, May. Oklahoma is already reopened. So as we adjust to new ways of living, we will also encounter new ways of how we do business. So as we slowly open up and find new ways of not only relating to one another, but how our businesses operate, we are in for changes in our economy and how we define and how we think of what is work. And I don't think that temporary $300 a month, which is money that people are able to manage, is going to negatively impact the long-term employment situation, because people will find that they need to get back to work. The challenge is what work will be available and whether or not work is one in which you can find a livable wage. There's some of the challenges right now.
Colin
is
online.
503-231-8187, and let's go to our next caller.
Colin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm not young and unemployed right now, but I've had an interesting experience during the pandemic with unemployment. When I first got it, I was definitely wasn't making more money, but I was making consistent money, you know. So the on again, off again economy that was going on, it made it a lot easier just to stay on unemployment for a while than it was to try to go out and find spot work. I work in construction, so, you know, it was very spotty for quite a while there. And I think a lot of this is shining a light on the working poor who would not want to go back to a job where you work and you're poor, if you're making the same amount of money as you would if you're not working. My daughter actually just moved out of the service industry because it was so hard to have consistent income and work that she got a job doing something else. But one of the points I would really like to make during this pandemic, you know, working in construction for me, is I'm right now working in an environment that's interesting because it's so different than my point of view. And I'm working around people who believe, for one, this pandemic is really just a flu. They won't wear masks when they're at work, and I wear a mask. And it's a very political statement to them to not wear a mask is a political statement. And I'm also working in an environment where people believe that the election was stolen. And so to them, you know, they're constantly talking about what needs to be done to take the country back. So I'm working in a very, they're not hostile towards me, but the environment is a very hostile towards the state of the nation environment all the time. And, you know, working with people who refuse to mask because they consider it a political statement to not wear a mask, you know, I find it very disturbing to be in that environment. It's actually emotionally draining to be in that environment every single day. And I've considered walking away and saying, well, maybe I just need to, you know, back on unemployment, go out and get a different job, you know, somewhere else. So I think that's part of the equation. That is how hard it is with the political environment to be, you know, subject to people talking about things like civil wars, you know, and things like that is a solution to the problem of this political environment that we're in. And I was hoping a lot of that would go away after the election, but it doesn't seem to be going away at this moment. So anyway, that's my experience, is a lot of the people that are working poor are looking at their jobs and reconsidering whether they want to go back to those jobs or not, too. So that's something that makes, I get to say.
That makes a lot of sense, and thanks for your call, because I have worked in environments where it's either been politically charged or there's been other elements like that that have made it really debilitating and emotionally draining to work. And so that's something that we don't hear a lot. That, and I find it interesting that it's in the GOP states primarily where the governors want to take away the unemployment benefits and force people back to work. So that in itself seems more like a political ploy than an economic ploy. And so adding that kind of stress to the mix really must make it difficult for a lot of people out here in our mainstream work environment. So the majority of these people who are not wearing a mask, does that have they not been vaccinated as well?
He's gone.
Oh, he's gone.
With Felicity up next. Felicity's up next.
Okay. Well, bring our next person up then.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was calling to talk about my personal experience. I'm a contract worker, and I work in healthcare as a healthcare interpreter, and I was on the pandemic unemployment assistance, which fortunately they created, because prior to that there was no option for unemployment for folks who are contract workers. And I really needed it because a lot of the appointments that I would normally interpret for were not happening, especially during that period where they stopped doing elective procedures. There weren't, you know, colonoscopies, or there weren't knee surgeries, or all of those quote-unquote elective procedures weren't happening. So my volume of work went way down. And I think a part of the barrier, I personally am, my hours have gone back up, but personally I have seen other interpreters who have not gone back to work, because one thing is that there have been a lot of barriers to PPE. Either you have to purchase your own PPE with your own money, because it's only offered to employees at certain places, less so now than earlier in the pandemic, but that's one of the barriers. Then a lot of folks' kids are still at home. A lot of the schools are not fully open. They're on a hybrid type model where the kids will go in a couple of hours a day, a couple of days a week. And so parents for having to pay for childcare can be a barrier. And then we also don't have, as contract workers, we don't have health benefits through our job. And so if you were to get, I've been exposed at least twice to folks with COVID. I've worked at, you know, the testing sites where who knows if I was exposed or not. And so, for folks who don't have health benefits, it's like, if I do get exposed, then, you know, if I were to have to end up in the hospital or something like that, I'm paying out of my own pocketbook. I know another interpreter who ended up in the hospital. So All of those are some barriers to folks going back.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because I think it's so easy for people just to say, oh, this or that. The suggestion, you know, you named several points. One is the challenge with schools that are in a hybrid situation. So, you know, you have to, if you have a child, you know, are they at home or are they in school? The challenge of finding childcare, of finding it if you can afford it. You also mentioned early on needing to purchase your own protection, PPE, which is a challenge. And also the contract workers not being able to have health benefits. And what do you do if you find yourself exposed and certainly needing hospitalization or medical treatment yourself? Those are all challenges that many people face each day. And we appreciate you sharing that and bringing some reality to a conversation that so often becomes a political talking point rather than dealing with the real problems, the real issues that people face surviving from day to day. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO, with Celeste, and I am Cecil. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We've opened our lines this morning to hear people share their real-life experiences about working or not working, whether or not one is able to survive on unemployment benefits. What does that mean? Is it easier for you to not work than it is for you to work? What are some of the challenges you face as our economy starts to reopen, maybe a little bit? Share your perspectives and hear and let your fellow listeners hear the life you experience. 503-231-8187. And Celeste, our last caller, she mentioned, you know, some of the challenges she has as a interpreter working in the health field. Those are real things that people experience. And oftentimes, I think people who aren't in that field think, oh, if you are in the healthcare profession, then that's a good job, that things are safe, that you have health benefits, but that's not necessarily the case, is it, Celeste?
Well, you know, the thing is that the whole idea of who is employed and types, categories of employment has changed a lot over the years, especially with the gig economy. So now you find that there are more contract workers companies' attempts to cut their cost, boost their profits, and to make it easier for them to kind of commodify staff and commodify benefits. And it's frightening because, yes, the healthcare field used to be a place where you could depend on a job and benefit and a competitive wage. It's not like that. Ever since the idea that you could have people come in, do the work, pay them less for the same amount of money, I mean for the same amount of work, ever since that's caught on, a lot of employers have changed the game. And so you got people out here doing jobs which, you know, 20 years ago would have meant that they were secure. I'm really saddened to hear how hard it is for a person who's a healthcare worker to not even have even a discount, You know, it's like, well, you're on your own, too bad, so sad. I remember the days when in nursing, you could wear the scrubs, you know, and not have to worry about spending money on uniforms. If you got stuck with a needle, you got a shot, or if there was some kind of exposure risk on the floor, they would pass out either vaccination or some kind of preventative measure. And it was just part of your employment package. It wasn't something you had to provide yourself. If you needed gloves or face masks because somebody was in isolation, they were provided by the hospital. Well, you're not even an employee of the hospital, so of course, you know. But these are all the things I think that are going into why people don't want to go back to work. So to call them lazy is deceptive. And as our caller who worked in construction says, I think this further politically charges the work environment and makes it even more difficult for people to be able to stay in place. And we got to be honest with each other, people. It's not always about somebody doesn't want to do the hard physical work. If you're working in an environment that is hard on you mentally or emotionally, that's just as difficult as being in something that's physically dangerous. And we need to be supportive and understanding and not get swayed by this rhetoric that people are lazy, you know. You know, what's interesting to me is when you see fast food places advertising that they pay $15, $16 an hour to work, because I'm driving down the street and I happen to notice that a Burger Doodle wants to hire people. They got a big sign out there and it says we're paying $15, $16 an hour. Now, say 2.5 years ago, say 3 years ago, we were trying to strike to get those wages.
Yes.
Now, of course, mm-hmm. we didn't get those wages without benefits. We wanted the whole package deal. We wanted benefits, right. Good working condition, you know, and so here we are now being offered $15, $16 an hour for working at fast food joints. But bear in mind that some of these still don't come with benefits.
Benefits, so
dangerous. And $15, $16 is no longer a livable wage.
Jason's on the line.
Exactly. As you mentioned, you know, $15 an hour for salary. We did not think that out of that $15, we also have to pay for our health insurance, for our uniforms. For child care. That isn't very much at all. Let's go to our next caller.
Jason.
Good morning, caller. Thank you.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for the call. Just a quick comment. Personally, my situation, I'm not working right now. I'm in my mid-40s. I am unfortunately not able to collect unemployment. The stimulus payments have been helpful. I'm waiting to go back to full-time employment until I'm fully vaccinated. I've gotten my first Fauci, and I'm going to get my next one on this coming Monday. So hopefully by around the first week or two in June, I should be able to start applying for work again and feel confident having been fully vaccinated. Now, I typically work in the service industry, you know, that includes restaurants, hotels, that sort of thing. so maybe some folks are hesitant to go back till they're fully vaccinated. I think also a lot of people are using this time to be creative in a more artistic and personal sense. They have more time to kind of work on things that they'd rather be working on instead of working for somebody else. So a lot of people are creating things and kind of using this time to make little micro pop-up businesses of their own in the communities. And I mean, you know, obviously you're not getting benefits and you're not making a consistent paycheck, but it's a way for you to use your creative energies in a positive, peaceful manner and make some kind of a living. So, you know, I encourage artists out there to do micro pop-ups and things like that. And in general, I think Portlanders need to take a deep breath and wait for a few more months, and I think everything should start looking a little bit better. But thanks for your let me speak.
All right. Well, thanks for your call. You know, one of the challenges, and somebody, you know, call in and share this, one of the challenges is that if you're not making a lot of money, how are you going to go out and mutually support one another? You know, I think pop-ups and entrepreneurial efforts are great, but I'm wondering who's able to support them, because if you're not making enough money, you can't go out and spend it as easily as you want. And so we're seeing a whole lot of interesting fits and gaps and, you know, obstacles in the supply line, as well as in the financial sharing line. You know, if a dollar is not bouncing at all in your community or in your local market, it's kind of hard to catch it as it flies by on the you know, on its journey in the community. And so I'm wondering how people are able to benefit with this entrepreneurial spirit. But at the same time, you know, and this is what makes the pandemic so interesting in terms of all its contradictions. You have a lot of people ordering food on DoorDash and what have you, or some of these other drop-off and delivery services, yet food service can't find jobs and you're not making enough money to eat out. So it's an interesting conundrum, and I can't wait to see a meta study of all of this to find out how all of these different contradictory elements play out within our life as we know it during pandemic. But we have a few minutes left. Our phone number is 503-231-8187. And I want to thank people for calling in. I appreciate hearing different points of view. And if you, too, appreciate hearing different points of view and being able to speak to your neighbors, and you appreciate this non-commercial, non-corporative platform, support. And you can do that by going to kbloo.fm/give supporting us. Or you can text 44321. You can text KBLO or give and donate that way by text. So if you are able, if you are working, if you are secure financially, please help us stay secure and connected to you and beyond. This is I'm Celeste with Cecil here on Your Community Connection, KBOO, Portland.
I thought it was interesting, Celeste, you know, of all the different perspectives we received this morning from our callers and sharing their life experiences. Our last caller mentioned something that we all should be aware of, and he said he was waiting until he was fully vaccinated to apply for jobs again. And up until recently, you know, people had problems getting appointments for vaccinations. It has opened up more so now. But that seems kind of wise, you know. Why should I put myself at risk until I am vaccinated? And, you know, so you get vaccinated, you have to wait 2 more weeks for your second vaccination, and then you have to wait, what is it, 2 more weeks after that before you are able until you're fully vaccinated. So it's some time. I thought it was also interesting, and I appreciated your response in part about, you know, using the time for to being creative, and saw that people are setting up micro businesses in your observation. Those are really good, but if you don't have a job and you can't patronize these micro businesses. But I appreciated something that we don't always highlight in this society where it's always go, go, go. Take some time to find who you are, to become aware of what you enjoy doing. And that's something that we don't value so much in our society, and people ridicule people who are like that. But I appreciate that caller mentioning how we should value the creative spirit within all of us. So use that time when you have all these great benefits and away from one another to find out your passion.
Indeed. You know, something that's really interesting, that's a side effect of both the pandemic's health aspects and employment being strange, is that applications for health fields are going up. So people are applying to go to med school, and people are applying for nursing school, and people are applying for public health degrees and public health administration degrees. And it's really interesting. And so, you know, people speculate maybe some of that's due to, you know, the Fauci effect, because he looks like kind of a hero, so to speak. But I wonder if it's also because people are recognizing how much is tied into the whole concept of public health. Like, oh, I don't know, mass shooting, you know. Politicized access to PPE. I don't know. Who knows? But
yeah,
I'm hoping that people do have more interest in that. These fields do find an influx because the enrollment had been dropping prior to the pandemic.
I have a friend of mine who was working in some totally different fields, who has now been accepted in med school. And I wonder, in part, was that, you know, because of some of the reasons you just suggested, that they recognize that, wow, maybe they have a calling to go into the medical field. So this person is shifting their life to, you know, what, 180 degrees. going into medical school, who's been accepted into medical school. Who knows what are things that might be the result of this pandemic. And so maybe it is, as you suggested, a Dr. Fauci effect.
Could be. Well, I mean, there are other elements too. The fact that housing is tight, and that's a health issue. The fact that many medical institutions, especially educational and research institutions, have finally fessed up to what a lot of people of color have known forever, that racism is a health challenge. It's a negative and has a profound negative effect on well-being and mental health. And so people want to go in and find out if that's true, what they can do, how to make changes. But it is 8:56 right now, and so we only have time for one quick call. If you feel inspired, at 503-231-8187. And I want to thank people who have called in once again for sharing your insight and your experiences, helping make our knowledge and our connection stronger. And also, I want to encourage people to stay tuned. We have coming up at 9 o'clock the Old Mo Variety Hour with more news and interviews and reviews and previews of what's going on in society right now.
Exactly. So our numbers again are 503-231-8187. This is More Talk Radio. We invite you to stay tuned to the programs that will happen following this program, the OMO Variety Hour. And following that is things in which we will talk about our Earth and how we live. and other news and information programs that will follow this program. So stay tuned, because you are listening to KBOO, a great example of diversity in radio, diversity in voices, diversity in perspectives. During the day, you have the opportunity to listen to news and information. Later on in the day, you have opportunity to listen to music of a wide variety. And Celeste, what might people do to support this radio station?
Oh, well, that's really easy. You have nothing more to do but go to www.kboo.fm/give, G-I-V-E, and click and donate. And we're looking to raise $60,000 toward our yearly budget, and your contribution will be part of that, and you can take pride in knowing that despite your circumstances, one thing you are doing is helping hold community and community media together and keeping your community strong. And I want to thank everyone who has given up to now. Be sure you check us out also at KBOO, 44321. You can text KBOO, or you can text give and donate. And stay tuned, because we are your community connection, and we'll hear you next week. Take care.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9 a.m. Time for Old Mole Variety Hour.
Remember, just text KBOO to the phone number 44321 and join the thousands of members who make volunteer-powered radio possible.